Lord, to come before you, Lord, again, to be before you, Lord, and know that we're your children. We have the right to become your children because we believe in the one and only Son. No work of our own. It is your grace that has worked this salvation. And Lord, by faith we grab it, and then we live it, and we are empowered by you, Holy Spirit, as you move in us and give us, Lord, all that we need. So, Father, even as we open your word this morning and look at the message that you have put and the love that you have poured out, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that. Lord, we continue to thank you for the ways that you have moved in our congregation, even this week. Lord, we think of Barb Kokoza and how close she was, Lord, to possibly passing. And yet, in your mercy, Lord, she's been made well, Lord, and continuing to heal. And we pray for that continued healing. Lord, and for Pastor Donna's MRI that's coming up, Lord, we again declare our trust in you. Lord, we look for and expect another good report as you, Lord, continue to show yourself strong. And yet all our days are in your hands. And Father, it is wonderful to trust you. There's no other way. No other way, Lord, we'd want to live. So Lord, thank you that you continue to rule and reign here in us to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Does everybody have a handout? I'll see what I can do to keep the flow here on this. I'm realizing I don't have one of my slides. I do. I like to start with a question. So today's question is, are you, and most of you probably are, familiar with what's known as the why phase of toddlers, right? If you've had one, or if you've had grandkids, or if you had grandkids, you had to have a kid there at some point. Young people in your life, very young, like somewhere between two, really closer to three, right? They're barely out of the terrible twos when they get to this why stage. And what's kind of interesting about this why stage is it's like these kids suddenly discover the power of this word. Right? Because now they take control, right? By asking questions. It's often said, whoever's asking the questions is the one in control. So now your three-year-old just took over. They hijacked what's going on by saying, why? 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 Now, the developmental experts will tell us that this is an important part of kids learning, and it is. I'm being silly. It is, they're sponges, and they're taking information, and they're putting the building blocks together and the pieces and trying to understand how things come together and things are linked together. But if you're the parent, it can drive you a little nuts. Or if you're the grandparent, right? Because your little blessing, as I said, who just is barely out of the terrible twos, and you're, you know, thinking that, okay, God's grace got you this far, he will carry you home. Hopefully not today. But, you know, they start repeating this word, why? And it could be endless. You know, it could start out with, oh, good morning, honey, time to get up. Why? Because that's what we do in the morning. We get up and we're going to have some breakfast. Why? Because we like to eat every day and you're probably hungry and, you know, we're going to do some things today. Why? And then you're starting to explain, well, it's Sunday. We're going to go to church today. Why? Because we love God. And next thing you know, you're like, wait a second. Now we're going to be late for church because I'm answering all your why. And like I said, it's like suddenly they got the power, and they just keep saying why. And eventually, what sometimes happens as the parent, you just say, because I said so, all right? And now I can end it, right? I said so. And in some ways, that's how God has ended our whys, right? Because I said so. It's because I said so. And you know that the beauty of when God says so, he says so out of perfect love, out of perfect clarity of all that's going on, and we can rest in his word and what he has said. And you can see from my first slide up there the this is why element of what we're going to look at today. And in many ways, all we're going to do is we're just going to unfold a bunch of scriptures, and I'm going to let them cohesively say what they say, but the question that they're answering is why? Is why? And I want you to see in the scriptures, this is why. This is what God has done and what he said about us, about his son, And there's much here. I could have gone into many other things, but I kept coming across these verses that were just telling me why Jesus was here, why he came, why the Father sent him. And it just became, like I said, for me, a compelling compilation of things. And before we even move to the first couple of blanks there, as we've been studying John's gospel and we've seen it in the other gospels, one of the things that the Lord said, and it was up on the Mount of Configuration, right, where Transfiguration, right? Peter, James, and John are the Mount of Configuration. they're up there, and the Lord, the Father God, spoke from heaven. And you can see on the front of your first page there, I have just listed from the three Gospels that the Lord spoke from the heavens and basically said, "This is my Son. Listen to him. Listen to him." And that's what we're looking at, what we're seeing, that God has put his stamp and his seal of approval on his Son. And he did it at his baptism, he did it here, and he's telling us all, listen to him. And so the first thing we might ask is, well, why? Why? And that's where I realized that, for one, and as you see in your notes there, he is going to show us the Father. He's going to show us the Father. And what I've done is, as I've pulled different verses, I know that they're, quote-unquote, not in order. And if you're here with regularity, you know I like us to go through the scriptures in order and line upon line, precept upon precept, look at them. But I don't think I did anything inaccurate in the way that I pulled things together here, because there's points that are in different places that are similar. So he's going to show us the Father. And we saw that right from the beginning of John. And the verse that you have there is that he, being Jesus, the only God who is at the Father's side, has made him known. He's made God the Father known. And Jesus himself says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And he went on to say, "The Father dwells in me, and I and the Father are one." So part of the why we listen is because Jesus is showing us God in the way that he acts. And furthermore, in the way that he speaks, he's going to speak to us from the Father. And in John 12:50, "I say as the Father has told me." I say as the Father has told me. So these are the two biggest whys we listen to Jesus. God told us, listen to him. The two biggest whys are, he is showing us the heart of God in everything that he does and everything that he says. And so then I started to just go deeper and say, you know what? These verses that were coming out to me, and the first one that I think has a blank for you, or the first two are in this next section here. Jesus actually said, for this purpose, I come to this hour. And this hour that he's come to is to glorify the name of the Father. So if you can advance one slide for us, that should pull up. Yeah. So I have come for this purpose, that the Father's name would be glorified. And then, I love this. We were familiar with John 3:16, and ironically, Andy Stanley referenced this recently. John 3:17, one of the other reasons, and we'll look at, I said many of them, so of why Jesus is coming, a reason that he came was not to condemn. So I think you have two blanks on there, not condemn. That's a reason why he came. He came to glorify the Father. He came not to condemn. On the next slide, he actually says that the world might be saved. I'm sorry, did not come to judge. And then the second portion there, to save, and that the world might be saved through him. And that's important, because many folks, when they picture God the Father, that's what they picture. A judge who is ready to pounce. And the reason why people picture that is because in their hearts, right, and in their consciences, they know they're guilty. We know we're guilty. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is doing his job. That's why. He's convicting us that we're guilty. And yet Jesus is saying, "I'm coming to show you God, and guess what? I'm not here to condemn." Not that he couldn't, but that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to condemn. I'm not here to judge. I am here to save. the world can be saved. Now, you all know, this doesn't mean that God does not deal with and does not judge when he needs to. But he is patient because he has made a way for all of us to be saved from the judgment due us. And so why Jesus is here, as he's glorifying the Father, he's not condemning, and he's showing us that the world can be saved. So let's move forward. Some of the other reasons that he came, and they'll be related. He came to serve, not be served. And if anybody deserved to be served, who's ever existed, it's God. And he's saying, Jesus is saying, part of why I came, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. Related to that, in his serving, he is seeking and saving the lost. Right, that's what he's saying. I need to find. And you think about the three stories that we have there. I believe it's in Luke 15. You know, where we're told about the lost coin and the, what's the one I'm missing? Because the last one's the prodigal son. Anyway, there's three stories there that unfold. And in each case, you know, the father is the one who's actually looking. Right, there's somebody looking, but Jesus tells us, especially in the prodigal son story, that father was looking. And Jesus, and I didn't put that verse here, but he's like, you know, to seek and to save, you know, the lost. It's a part of why he's here. It's another one of these elements of him saying, you know what, here's why. Here's why we need to listen to him. And again, if we're hearing the Holy Spirit, he's telling us, love you, but you're lost. Right? And that's God's word to us. So let's move forward to the next one. Next couple of blanks here. Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. This is what he's doing. He's serving. He's seeking. He's making a way for the world to be saved. And in doing so, he does it through his life. You think about what a ransom is. A ransom is the sum, the totality of what is paid to take something that is currently under the control of someone who shouldn't have it. And the world, and one of the other scriptures that I didn't put in here, you know, the ruler of this world is standing judged by Jesus' actions. And what he's saying here is that I am giving my life to ransom, to purchase back from someone who should not have it, your life. It is a ransom. And so as we think about how he's doing that, right, we realize that he has appeared to take away sins. Because the reason why the ruler of this world had you and me in his grip is because we obeyed his lies. We listened to his lies. And in doing so, we have sinned. And our sin has separated us from God. And Jesus says, I have come to take away that sin. So as he takes away that sin, guess what he took away also? The separation. He takes it away. And we've all seen maybe different illustrations of this large chasm and the two rocks on both sides and the cross that stands in the middle. And in many ways, he like pulled both those rocks together and puts them right there and just says, go. You know, be reconciled to God. He is taking away our sins. And a part of, even as I was mulling through and meditating and thinking through all this stuff, I just can't help but realize or think about how much people sometimes struggle with, where's God? You know, where is God? Does he know what's going on? And yet, this is what he's done. That's why he's telling us to listen to him. So he's taking away our sins as he's ransoming our lives. You can move forward to the next one. Jesus saying, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We know Like I said, part of why people see God as a judge is because they know that they're guilty. And yet Jesus is saying, one of the whys, a part of the why he's here, is to call sinners to repentance. And if you know the context of this portion, you know, call the righteous is could almost be a little tongue-in-cheek, because there is none righteous. No, not one. So Jesus is saying, if you're righteous, don't worry, I didn't come for you. And if you have ears to hear, you realize that, wait a second, I can't be righteous. I'm not. My righteousness, the scriptures say, it's like filthy rags. Filthy rags. And that's why when we serve out of love, that's exactly what it is. You're serving the saints, you're serving people in your family, you're serving in your, you're doing it out of the love that God's overflowing in your heart and no other reason. So Jesus is calling sinners to repentance. And not popular words, right, to say that something's a sin, that you need to repent of it. Very Christian words, very churchy words. But Jesus says this is why he came. Am I not going to talk about this? All right. Sin is sin. We can call it what we want, and the world will continue, and it's horribly sad, even tragic, the way that they're trying to cover over and polish sin and call it other things. Right? All of the different verbiage and nuances of how we mention something. You know, I'm not anti-life. Right? Instead, you know, somebody says that they are pro-choice. Right? They're somehow on this, you know, painting this picture about what you're dealing with is really all about this woman's choice and nothing to do with life. And it's one of the small examples that are going on. We've referenced the other very volatile area, you know, of human sexuality and how the world is trying to paint this again as, hey, it's your choice to be who you want to be. That includes your gender. That includes all kinds of other things, right? And these plausible arguments, the scripture calls some of these things, where you're like, yeah, yet there's something inside of you that says, wait a second. What's right and true, God has declared. And that's why, even as we sang it today, I loved it, you know, I will build my life upon your word. It is a sure foundation, right? You're building on that, it's a sure foundation, because other things are going to crumble. And God is so gracious, right? Where sin's abounding, grace is abounding more. So we walk in that and allow God to be God. We don't have to have arguments with people. Be kind. Let that lead them to repentance. And we know that repentance is where you actually think different about a situation. Right? You may have said, you know what, I was thinking this way about this, but I am changing my mind. That's what the Greek repentance word means, the metanoia, to change the way you think. And now you're thinking differently. And you say, you know what? I am going to turn to God in this. So this, too, becomes another why on why Jesus is here. And I referenced this part already, but in that ransom and in that reconciliation, right, he has died to bring us to God. This is why he came, to bring us to God. I got a couple more for you, which I guess when I give you a handout, you know when it's going to end, right? I don't know if that's good or bad, but Jesus said, as he's lifted up, he's going to draw all people to himself. All people. I have to believe, and I do believe, because God's Spirit is not contained, that he is drawing people. And that he is revealing what's right and what's true. And each of us are accountable for what God has revealed. And Jesus has said, as I'm lifted up, and that's a part of what we do here on a Sunday morning, is lift him up, acknowledge who he is, and allow him to draw people to himself. And I love this verse. The reason, the why, the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. I referenced before, the world was captive. All that were born after Adam in that lineage that is bent towards somehow wanting to do its own thing, and Satan fans that fire, right? Do as you will. That's what they say the satanic mantra is, as you will. And yet our cry to God is, not my will, but your will. Knowing that the reality that God made us, he made us to be perfectly fulfilled in doing his will. It is what completes us. And so Jesus is saying, part of what I'm doing here is I am destroying these works, because there was an enemy and he was the ruler of this world. And Jesus said in another portion I didn't put here, he stands judged now because of what Jesus has done. Jesus has come as a human being, fully God and fully man, and by being able to yield fully to the Spirit from day one through his 33rd year. This is what I paused while I was putting this together, realizing the incredible amount of world shaking that Jesus did in 3 years. 3 years. Three. I know I'm getting older. 3 years is shorter and shorter every minute. 3 years. I mean, we can all look back 3 years ago, and that's a part of, as I was putting this together, I was looking at some notes from, 4 and 5 years ago. And I'm like, wow, look what Jesus did in 3 years. I'm like, I'm over here close to six now. I'm like, ruh-roh. But in those 3 years, right, look what can happen and look what God can do to any one of us and with any one of us that continue to yield. Jesus is the one who said, greater works than he's done will do. I still kind of like, I don't quite get. Right? But he said it. Right? He said it. And there's different ways to look at that, and I won't get off on a tangent at the moment. But he came to destroy the works of the devil. So we have a couple of more here. In destroying the works of the devil, he has made a way for us to not remain in darkness. Because he is the light. He is the light. And those who follow him walk no longer in darkness. And we talked about this as we were going through John. But this is, again, Jesus saying the reason why. Here's why. He is light. In him is the light of men. In him is life. He is the light. He is the life. And none of us have to walk in darkness because Jesus has come. Amen. And a verse that we know well and quote often, right, that Jesus is saying, he's come to give us abundant life, here and now and later and forever. And we know that abundant life here doesn't mean trouble-free. Right? It's not abundant in the way the world solely wants to describe abundance. But no matter what we're going through and what we're walking through, if God is with you, are you not abundantly blessed? Abundantly. Now, we get lots of victories, tons of them. Tons of them, all kinds. There are family things that change overnight. Barb Kokoza, we can have week after week, stuff goes on that's victory after victory. There's only one time that he's going to say, this leads to death. Once. And then it's only to give you eternal life and give you that new body. Everything else you get healed from. It's just a question of how fast. Right? Right? Everything you've ever gotten before, you've been healed from. He's come to give us abundant life. Let's let him define what that is. And in reality, since he is life, abundant life is him. And it's walking with him. And not sure, I love a great, glorious God story when, somebody tells some crazy story about how God blew their bank account up and, it was so overflowing that, and everybody's like, yeah, do that to me, God. You're not a respecter of persons, or the amazing healing that we hear, and when it's us, we're like, God, me, you're no respecter of persons. Yet the beauty is we trust him. We trust him. All right, a couple more here. So there's one more on this page because it's kind of a summary verse. Here's a why. I was born for this purpose, to bear witness to the truth. Because there is a truth. And a part of what Jesus is doing as he's glorifying God, as he's ransoming us, as he's serving us, as he's all these things that we're looking at, and I'm going to pull them all up one by one just to show you the power of them together. He is bearing witness to what is right and true. Right? God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is saying, I am here bearing that witness. It's why God said, listen to him. Listen to him. And it's why even here, the year 2019, almost over, over 2,000 years since Jesus walked, I can stand in a room with people that have encountered the living Jesus 2,000 years later, and he's still encountering us. Let me allow you to look at how these things all look one after the other. So why? To glorify the name of the Father, not to condemn, not to judge, to save the world, not to be served, to serve, to seek and save the lost, to give his life a ransom, to take away sins, to call sinners to repentance, to bring us to God, to draw all people, to destroy the works of the devil, to be light, to give abundant life, and to bear witness to the truth. Hallelujah. This is why Jesus has come. This is why we surrender. This is why we say, you know what? My life is not worth me trying to decide what it's for. When God has told me why. He's told me why he sent my son. People spend their whole life looking for meaning and purpose. This is why. Right? Whole life trying to figure out, why am I here? Who am I? What is life about? What is the end of life? Okay? This is why. So we listen to Jesus. Let me close by reading to you this portion that I have in your notes there from Colossians. I love the way it just sums things up here. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Amen. Amen. This is God's word to you this morning. Why don't you stand? I want to pray a blessing over you. I also want to call you. If there is any of you that need to surrender, need to yield yourself to God's why, to his word and what he said and the reason that Jesus has come. He is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. All get to that place where I say, you know what? I cannot go on thinking like this anymore. And for those of us who've walked with the Lord for any length of time, you know that it may not be a 180 degree turn that has to happen in your life, but we get off degrees here and degrees there, and it's a part of why Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Keep them clean. Stay in the word. Allow yourself to get refocused, recentered. Hear the Spirit of God. Day in, day out, allow him to lead and fill and overflow and be this river of living water that God intends each of us to be. So if there's anyone here that needs prayer, I'm going to ask that you come up front as I close. Allow us to pray with you. Whether you're asking to surrender to the Lord or whether there's something else that you just want agreement in prayer, we'd love to do that with you. So Father God, thank you, Lord, again for your glorious word, and Lord, for the reasons why you came. To think, Lord, that you, perfect, needing nothing, yet decided you wanted to create something in your image that could enjoy who you are forever. And when that glory was attempted to be stolen, you made a way. You made a way. So, Father, we thank you for that way. We thank you for this glorious reason that we now get to know you. And Lord, we want to walk in it and walk in the works that you have ordained for us to walk in all our days, God, as we would continue to bring you glory. And I pray this blessing over your church and the words that you gave Moses to use as he blessed Israel. And he said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people did say, amen.